Welcome to Hype, Hypeable.com's flagship entertainment podcast. My name is Selena, and I've got a special interview with Veronica Mannion from HBO's new comedy series, Insecure. We'll be featuring this interview with Veronica on the podcast, and we'll follow it with a discussion of the pilot episode with me and my fellow Hype podcast host, Pam. As always, if you want to find out more about the show or get in contact with us, you can find us on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. You can contact us via email, hype@hypeable.com. You can find us on Twitter @hypeablehype, and you can find us on Tumblr @hypepodcast.tumblr.com. So enjoy the interview with Veronica Mannion and stay tuned for the pilot discussion at the end of the show. Okay, are you in LA right now?
I am. Where are you?
Oh, nice. I'm in Denmark right now.
Wow.
So very far away.
The internet is amazing.
I know. But I guess to start with, I want to ask you, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's 10 a.m. here in LA, and it's a very foggy, beautiful morning. How is Denmark?
Oh, it's nice. It's very dark. It's 7 p.m. at night. So it's very cold, I will say. Very cold and raining and very fall-y, which I hear the LA people actually really like. I don't know why.
We do. Well, we don't get enough of the fall. We get a lot of hot summer days. So the fall is like our one chance at some weather.
That makes sense. So obviously we're here to talk about Insecure, which is the HBO series that premiered this Sunday. First of all, how are you feeling? Have you been checking out the reviews at all? Are you staying away from all that?
Oh, I mean, the reviews are amazing. Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, it was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is like crazy.
I know.
Yeah.
I was going to like, if you hadn't seen it, I was going to break that to you and be all excited. It's been really great to see the reception to the show.
I agree. And especially because the people who made it are just so wonderful and kind and talented. And it's so nice when good people are rewarded, you know, when like the hard work really pays off. And I think the show is magic. And I think people are feeling it.
Yeah, for sure. But of course, I mean, you were hardly in the pilot at all. So we haven't really seen much of you yet. Which is also making this even more exciting because I get to ask you, you know, what's your character going to be like? What kind of role is she going to have in the show?
Yeah, I'm a featured player. So it is mostly about Issa and her best friend Molly and their relationship with each other. But my character, Kitty, she is featured more, especially in episode 3. She kind of reveals herself as maybe the main mean girl in the office when Issa takes over like a big presentation at work and Kitty kind of really second guesses Issa's capabilities. So it was really fun. I can't wait for you guys to see it. I think the show just gets even better and better every episode.
And I mean, Insecure is sort of particularly exciting to watch because of obviously Issa Rae and Awkward Black Girl, which she did a couple of years ago. I actually discovered it back when it first premiered and I just became a huge fan of her and sort of have been watching her road to success and this like really sort of self-ironic brand of humor that she has, which I think translates really well to television.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you watch Awkward Black Girl, a lot of like the same, I mean, it's her, you know, she's kind of playing a version of herself, which I think is always the most successful shows is when people are really honest and really revealing themselves. So if you watch even like the first Awkward Black Girl, it's like you feel like it's a similar vibe, but the production and like her voice has just gotten stronger and better, you know? That's great that you watched it from the beginning though. That's so fun to see somebody, you know, that you've been watching kind of come up through the ranks, you know?
Yes. Yeah, it is. And actually that was something else that I wanted to ask you about because I know you've done some web series work yourself and I was wondering how you feel about sort of, I mean, you're doing some more, I don't want to call it mainstream because that seems wrong, but it does sort of feel like people are breaking through that barrier. And I think it's really exciting.
It is really exciting. And, you know, you do these web series because you can't get into the mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel kind of stuck where you are and you just want to make great stuff. And who cares if you get a paycheck at that point, you know, you just want to be acting. So, I've been in some web series and the goal is always that people will watch them and mm-hmm. love them and that maybe, you know, they'd get picked up. But that's always like this dream that you think is so far away. And yet here I'm on a show of somebody who did it. You know, it's really inspiring. And it shows that like with hard work, I mean, she's been doing it for a long time and she's just the amount of episodes and the amount of, you know, work she's put out is really incredible. Mm-hmm. I've been a part of two little web series, one Crowned with my friend Josh Benarski and his wife Brianne. That one is really great. There's only 6 episodes though, and we had some really good hits. The trailer has 100,000 views, but mm-hmm. Issa Rae, like Awkward Black Girl, is over 1 million views. You know, that's amazing. And she put over like hundreds of episodes, you know.
Yeah,
that like that's really incredible. And I think in today's, you know, digital world, it makes it easier for the mainstream to take a chance on someone when they see like she's unstoppable. You know, there was just no holding her back. She was going to break the ceiling at one point. And I think a lot of people kind of do their web series and they're like, here it is. and then that's it, you know, and they don't just keep putting stuff out there and keep getting better and keep developing things, you know? And I think that's what she did and she's being rewarded for it. And that's mm-hmm. really great.
And I sort of get the sense because we cover a lot of web series content on Hyperbole and it does seem like there's developing this kind of almost like sub community of web series creators who work together and share each other's works and intersect in that sort of way. Is that something you're aware of or doing at all?
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like there's been an explosion of web series just in the past, I want to say like 3 years. And I think it's because it became like, oh, that I can make something on my own that's like not, doesn't have to be a polished, you know, 22-minute pilot or whatever. It can be like these little videos and I can express myself and get my voice out and heard. And it's a good way for people to get noticed. Also, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, you know, she mm-hmm. was making like YouTube videos.
So, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm not really involved in the underground scene, but I am definitely a firm believer in making your own work. I made a feature film musical. I was going to go the web series route, and now I'm thinking like, oh, maybe I should have, you know. Instead, I went like the indie film way, which is like another whole crazy journey on its own. And I got into some pretty great film festivals, won some awards, but yet my film, you know, I'm still yet to get it on iTunes and Amazon and stuff. And I'm still trying to break through that like next barrier, you know.
Is it a Booze, Boys, and Brownies? Is
yeah.
Yeah. Where can people watch that if they wanted to?
Right now, I'm renting it and selling it on Vimeo On Demand. Mm-hmm. So if you go to Vimeo.com or VimeoOnDemand.com, Booze, Boys, and Brownies, mm-hmm. you can rent it or buy it and you get some deleted scenes with my own personal commentary over it. And yeah, so if you wanted to check it out, you can right now.
Awesome. That's really cool. And we'll include links to all of this in the comments in the doc. Or
cool.
So let's talk a little bit more about Insecure. First of all, I mean, it's sort of a generic question. What was the audition process like? How did you get involved with it?
So I'm really lucky. I have a wonderful manager, Entertainment Lab, and they got me this audition for an HBO pilot last, I want to say September. And it was one line, the line that you saw on the pilot. Mm-hmm. Hey, Issa, what's on fleek?
Yeah, that's been in all the trailers too.
Yeah, which I thought was great. And it was one line in this HBO pilot. No idea if it was going to get picked up based off this Awkward Black Girl web series. I looked her up. I thought the show was funny. I thought the line was funny. I went in. There was like a lot of girls of my age, different sizes and shapes, just doing the same line. And they ended up booking it off tape, which means I didn't have to come back for a callback or a producer session and do it again and then get nervous and mess it up, you know?
Yeah.
So the next thing I heard, I get to go to a table read at HBO for this pilot. And I'm in like the ladies room and I'm all like nervous right before I go in. And this beautiful woman is like looking at me and she's kind of smiling and she's kind of like laughing at me. And I'm like, what is going on? And it's the director, Melina Matsoukas. And she's like, I saw your, you know, your audition. And I think your face is really funny. They just thought my face was funny. They booked me for the pilot. And then I shot the pilot last September and just hoped that my one line wasn't going to get cut out of the show and that the show would get picked up. You know, it wasn't a total go at that point. Mm-hmm. And crossed my fingers and moved on, you know, the next project. And then in April, I found out that they wrote me into episode 2 and 3 and then episode 6 and 7.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so kind of a dream scenario situation.
Yeah, absolutely, after being discovered in a bathroom. That's a good story, too. So what's the energy like on set?
Yeah, everyone is just so great. I mean, it's probably one of the nicest sets I've ever been on, and very female friendly and female run, which was really incredible and great to see. So many women in front of and behind the cameras, writers, different people of color, you know, which was really fun. And everybody was so just kind. And I think people felt the specialness of the show. And I think people, you know, really wanted to do Issa right, you know, and make her proud. And you could feel that. It felt like a family, really.
Is it when you're sort of working through the scenes, is it very strictly defined to the script, or do you get to do some improvisation at all? Or?
Oh, yeah. They're pretty loosey-goosey. They kind of, depending on the scene, will let you take some wild takes and kind of go. And some of the directors won't call, like, you know, cut right away. So you can kind of throw in another line. They're really open to that. But then sometimes they're very true to like what they want the line to be. But yeah, there was a lot of fun of just trying new lines and different stuff for different takes to see what worked. Because this show was like the first season and it felt like you were developing it together, you know, and trying new stuff. Because it's not like it's been around for years and you're just kind of plugged into the machine. Mm-hmm. Everybody was figuring out together, which was really great.
Right. Yeah. But and this was another thing that I wanted to ask you, because I mean, this season of television in particular, I think there's been so much great new stuff. Like, it's actually kind of incredible how many amazing series have premiered this year. What do you think about Insecure that sort of makes it stand out from the rest? Or what do you think is going to make it stick?
Well, just, I mean, in comparison to Westworld, that I've seen the first two episodes and it's awesome, but that's like a huge budget production, you know, with like so many storylines like ebbing and flowing throughout. And Insecure is, I think you can feel like just the realness of the friendships and the realness of the relationships. And I think you come back because it's funny and it like hits you, like it hits your heart, you know? It's like, it makes you laugh, but at the same time you really identify and you like want to feel something. I think those are the best shows when it really, you know, is funny, but it also, yeah, it makes you feel good or resonates with you, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I was reading a review that sort of compared it to Sex and the City, with that friendship between Issa and Molly sort of feeling way more real than that, because it is, they feel like real people, and the stuff that we see them go through is sort of very nuanced and not like a straight up like comedy, like this is slapping your knee funny kind of stuff, you know. There's real depth to these characters, but it's still just really funny. And I don't know, it's just, there's something about it that feels very real in a good way.
Yeah, I was definitely calling it like a Sex in the City in LA, but with, you know, two African-American women. Mm-hmm. And instead of like four white girls. And that's all you need is two best friends, you know. people were also saying it was like the black girls, which I like don't think that's true. I think like the tone is much more Sex in the City vibe of like, I think I love Girls. I'm a huge fan of Girls, but I think Girls kind of gets weird and the characters are a little unlikable. Whereas I think people are just going to instantly fall in love with Issa and Yvonne who plays Molly. She's, and you just feel their friendship and it's real too, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
They really love each other. Yeah.
Do you have a, like, we kind of talked about this a little bit before, but do you have a, like, one particular scene that you're particularly looking forward to people seeing?
Yeah. I mean, episode 3, I definitely get to do more stuff than I did in episode 1. So I'm excited about that. I ended up doing some ADR for the episode in New York City. So I got to see a couple parts of it and some improv lines I threw in landed in there. And so I'm excited about it.
That's really awesome. And what else are you, because I know you've been on American Horror Story, you've been on Masters of Sex. So what's coming up for you next?
Well, I was just lucky enough to shoot a small part on Ryan Murphy's new show Feud, starring Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon. I got to shoot a little part with them, and so I'm still kind of floored off that. That was last week.
That's the show about like old Hollywood. Yeah,
Joan Crawford and Bette Davis, and they're amazing. They look amazing. Their wigs are so fabulous.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. I'm really looking forward to that show. Is that, it's set in the 60s? Yeah. So do you play anyone like from history or is it like a...
I'm a reporter from the 60s and it's about the real life feud between Joan Crawford, played by Jessica Lange, and Susan Sarandon, who plays Bette Davis, when they were filming Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, which is like this great movie. And they... and so they're kind of like gossiping. Well, I'm not really supposed to talk about it, but I play a reporter in episode 2.
Yeah, and so far, like it's what really happened, so that's fine.
Yeah, but no, I am the fabulous vintage outfits. Like on set, it was really just transformed into like a whole new, you know, a whole different world with all the costumes and the old timey cars, and I'm wearing this fabulous like pink suit straight out of the 1960s.
That's awesome.
Dream come true. And yeah. With Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon, it was amazing.
That's really cool. Are there any sort of shows or movies or anything that you would love to appear in?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy because it's kind of already happening. Like, I was a huge fan of American Horror Story, and I got to be a part of that. I got to meet Lady Gaga. Oh. And now, you know, HBO has always been, for me, like, you know, the pinnacle of TV, and I can't believe I'm on an HBO show. And so I'm just kind of counting my lucky stars right now and just hoping that it keeps continuing on and on, you know, and that I just keep getting to play more delicious parts. I really am enjoying getting cast as the vintage girl. I've been playing like a lot of, you know, old timey stuff, and that's always more fun for me. I've always been obsessed with old Hollywood, and my movie is a little bit of an homage to kind of the musicals from the 1940s and 50s. So if in the grand scheme, I'd love my movie to be like a spin-off TV musical, perhaps, you know, and keep creating my own stuff. But I'm really happy with where things are going and, you know, just hoping for more.
That's awesome. So before we wrap up, we do this thing on Hype called How We Hype, where we ask you what you are a fan of or what you're enjoying in pop culture at the moment. So yeah, I know you mentioned Westworld a little bit earlier. Is that sort of your main thing right now?
I love Westworld. I'm a huge TV nut. If you're not watching South Park, I don't know what you're doing with your life, but they're geniuses. Any episode of South Park you watch is amazing. But this season is just, every episode, I'm just in awe of them. If I could somehow be made into a South Park character, I think I could die happy.
Right.
That would be the end. Yeah, what else am I feeling? I watched Saturday Night Live for the first time and it felt like the 90s. I feel like they're back and they got pretty funny again.
Wow, that's awesome. Which episode? The Lin-Manuel Miranda one?
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, that one was funny. Yeah, I watched that one too. He's just everywhere at the moment. It's really cool.
He is. And that's really inspiring. David Diggs, who is in Hamilton, I know him from San Francisco. And so it's really great to see people that you've worked with in the past kind of become like these big balls of light. And you just, I'm just so, it's a crazy ride happening right now. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing more of my friends on TV.
Awesome. So what else do you have to plug? I don't want to leave anything.
That's about it. Like, you know, watch my movie Booze, Boys, and Brownies. I think you'll love it. If you like musicals and awkward comedy. And Insecure this season just gets better and better. And then look for me on Feud premiering next year.
That's so awesome. Thank you so much for doing this. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me, Selena. Well, yeah, so nice. So nice virtually meeting you.
Yeah, you too. That was pretty much it. And thank you so much for taking the time. And I hope you have a wonderful day and enjoy the fog.
My pleasure. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so let's dive right into the pilot episode of Insecure. We have a discussion of the pilot episode with myself and my Hype co-host Pam, which is starting right now. So yeah, let's get into it. I've been following Issa Rae for a long time. I think she's fabulous. And when I heard that her show was going to be on HBO, I was beside myself. I'm so glad it's finally out. I'm so glad it's getting great reviews. And I cannot wait to hear what you think of it, Pam.
I really loved it. I think it's so relatable. I think a lot of people felt that way too when the trailer dropped, especially like, I don't think you would have had to have seen Issa Rae's YouTube series to feel that way. But I have noticed, because before we started recording, I went back and I watched a couple of the earlier Awkward Black Girl episodes that she posted back in, like, I don't know, maybe like 2011 or something like that. And I can kind of, you can really see the process in terms of like how that series inspired what she's doing on HBO today. And a lot of the comments on the bottom were people just saying, I had never heard of this, but I watched Insecure and now I'm watching this and I understand now, which is so, so cool. Wow. I loved seeing that. But I loved the pilot. I think it was really funny and it was really clever and it was really compelling in certain ways as well. I think everybody can find something to relate to when they watch it.
Yeah, and I think I was actually surprised by how I was expecting something a little more light-hearted in a way, like some more easy laughs, whereas what we actually got was something a lot more insightful and, as you said, like a lot more relatable with Issa Rae and her character is also called Issa, and Molly, who is her best friend. Their chemistry as friends and this relationship that's building up between them as obviously the two lead characters is so interesting and layered and not like necessarily played for laughs. Like, it's genuine emotion, which I'm sort of very pleasantly surprised by.
Yeah, and I loved the juxtaposition of both of those characters. I think that what she's doing really well with Insecure is, like, obviously it's like a predominantly Black cast, but she is kind of showing like the different facets of Black people interacting and just like diverse communities. So she, you know, when she talks about her friend Molly, she makes that great point that like everybody loves Molly, like white people love Molly, Black people love Molly. And then there she is, Issa, and like she can't really fit in anywhere. And she kind of jumps right into that whole idea of like not being Black enough and not being white enough, which I think a lot of people that like come from minority backgrounds can really relate to.
Yeah. I think like that's a really good point, because I think one of the things that struck me, like particularly about Molly, but obviously about both of them, is how, well, I guess it is specifically relating to Molly, because we have that really interesting development of Issa sort of putting her up as someone like you said, like she can talk to Black people, she can talk to white people, like everything comes really easy to her. But when you actually meet her, nothing comes easy to her. You know, like everything, she's in a really hard place in her own life. And the fact that Issa portrays her or sees her one way, but the show actually immediately portrays her in a way that goes beyond that sort of very limited view that Issa sort of presented of her, I think it sort of speaks to the richness of the character in a way.
I totally agree. And I love that, because what this show does really well, even in the first episode, is that like you as an outsider, you're scratching the surface and then it just automatically goes deeper. And that's so cool to see.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's that's again, going back to like what I was saying with how the trailers and everything I've heard about it, like I just assumed it would be much more straightforward than it actually is, you know? And it's like, I'm watching this and I'm like, wow, not that I wasn't expecting it to be good, but I was just expecting it to be a little more like laugh out loud and a little less sort of, I don't know, deep is the wrong word, but it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah, it's not like slapstick comedy. It's very, the parts that are humorous are kind of humorous because it's just so true. And it's just, it's yeah, a great, like,
coming back to,
yeah,
relatable.
It's just like a wonderful social commentary piece almost. And
yeah.
You know, one of my favorite parts, like this is kind of like jumping towards the end, but is when she's getting ready to go to this place where her ex-boyfriend is at the open mic night, and she's trying on all her different colors of lipstick, and all of them like make her feel like a different person. I loved that. I feel like that is like so relatable to like so many women. It's like, you know.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Just like the idea that you can change your look. And then at the end of the day, she just like wipes it all off and she decides she's just going to go with Vaseline. I loved that.
I love that too. That's like, that's exactly what I would do in that situation. But no, I was just going to say like for Issa too, like in terms of Awkward Black Girl, like I think it also shows like how far she has come as a writer and as like a person who portraits, is that the word, like makes portraits of real people, because in Awkward Black Girl the kind of dilemmas that she went through were more like, I'm singing in my car and someone's hearing me sing and it's really embarrassing. That was like the opening thing of that show. And here you have like actually her problems are she's in a job she doesn't want, she's not being taken seriously by her colleagues or they're stereotyping her, she's in a deadbeat relationship, she doesn't know what to do. She feels like her friend is much more successful than her. Her friend, in turn, has all these problems. Like, it's just, it's on a very different level. And I think it's almost like people that compare it to like Girls and Sex and the City, I think are almost doing it a disservice, because there are like right off the bat, I feel like there are more layers to this story. Like, it feels very grown up.
I totally agree. And not that those other shows are not relatable, but I almost kind of feel like this is more so. And I think it's because like something like Girls, it relies just as much on the city it's based in as it does on the characters. And what I loved about Insecure was that I didn't even realize like where it was, because it was almost like the scene didn't really matter so much as like the people mattered. Huh. Like, it took me a minute to realize, I was like, what coast am I on again? And I was like, oh, it's because it doesn't matter. It was like, it was very interesting. I don't know. Maybe that was just me.
No, I don't know. I mean, I've been reading some interviews with Issa Rae and about it. And she sort of very specifically said that she's characterizing people from, I think it's South LA. That she's.
Yeah, I got. Sort of- I got that after, because it looked like there were like there were maybe some scenes shot like in and around like Compton, things like that. Mm-hmm. So, and that would make sense, because I think a lot of the stereotypes people do have, especially out in LA, of certain like types of Black people, because like that's the whole thing. And like the show does that really well too. Like, you have somebody like Molly who is relatable to like every like other ethnicities, but she can still be like, you know, Black enough to hang out with, you know, like the janitors are playing poker downstairs and things like that. I think that, so that makes sense. I don't know where I was going with that, but.
No, but I think it does. And I think it's sort of, it's really interesting, because obviously for me, like, spoiler alert, I'm foreign. and I think it's so interesting that, the media sort of allows you to get a sense of who all these different types of American communities are and how they relate to each other and how they set each other up as opposed to each other. And I guess for you, it's very different, because you are actually American and you do actually experience a lot of this like on a day-to-day basis. But I love it. I love these types of insights that take you away from that typical Hollywood view of America. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's so totally. Mm-hmm. And I'm not black, but I am Mexican. Like, my family is from Mexico. Part of it is. So I relate on certain levels because this idea that you're not, you know, blank enough for even like your family is something that I have struggled with my whole life. I also like don't, I think like people when they look at me, they get a little confused because I don't necessarily like look super Mexican in comparison, especially to like my brother who has legitimately back in college, there was a man that approached him and asked him how much he charged for the day because he needed a day laborer. Like I don't, people usually think I'm like Armenian or like Persian or Egyptian or anything like that. But
that's so specific.
I know. And it's, I don't know why. I guess it's just because my skin is a little bit lighter. I have more of the Spanish features. That's neither here nor there. But my point is that like, I, it really, this just idea of not being enough of what you are, even though you are that, is something that I've experienced. And so it was really nice to see that on a mainstream show. Because I think a lot of times, like, we talk about that and you see it a lot written down, but you don't really see it on TV. So I really enjoyed that. I loved that aspect. And I think I'm assuming that we'll touch more on that because she's already kind of presented the idea, you know, that even in the workplace, like, even though she is part of the team, they want her to be something she's not.
Yeah, they want her to represent a thing as opposed to be a person.
And it makes sense, too, because she, like, the work team isn't, like, super diverse. Her work team isn't super diverse, and yet they're trying to reach out to inner city kids.
Yeah.
And, like, they know what's right, supposedly, for these kids. And, right. And I love that at the end she comes in and she's like, we're not doing this right because we're just doing the same thing that everybody has always tried to do to kids like this. Mm-hmm. And this is why we need to change it. And I love that it kind of ends like she's trying to find her voice at the beginning. And then she kind of starts to find it even as early as the end of the pilot.
And that's kind of like the message. I think you're like touching on the message of the whole show because there is such a balance. I mean, in real life and in entertainment, I don't think one is bigger than the other of grouping people into categories for ease of understanding the world versus actually acknowledging something as simple as the fact that everybody is an individual, you know, and everybody is different from everybody else in their own way. And I think that's kind of, again, coming back to the idea of Insecure being so much more layered than a lot of other shows that you see on TV. And presenting these really complicated pictures of these women who have to navigate between representing something and being their own people. And I think that's like a really good thing that Issa Rae said in an interview as well, is that what's important for her isn't that her show becomes the show about black people. Because she's not trying to represent a whole group of people. And kind of the point of her show is that her character is actively fighting that. Even in the very first episode, she said about those kids, like you said, like, we can't treat them all the same because they're not a thing. They are individual people.
And you know what else I really loved, like going back to the workplace when I think it's the Veronica who you interviewed, she's the one that asks if she knows what on fleek means.
Yeah.
And I loved that. Her internal monologue was, even though she said, oh, I don't know what that is, she said, I know what on fleek is. I just don't want them to know. That is so relatable to me. I have literally, like, sometimes I just can't and I just don't want to. And it's like so bad. I will just pretend like I don't know how to speak Spanish because I don't want to deal with this situation. It's so awful, but I think that like it's something that happens more than people think. Just because you want so badly to fit in. You just don't want to deal with it.
So when I asked you, what does como estás mean? And you told me you didn't know, that was a lie.
I know. It's just because you just want to be like everybody else. Like you don't want your X factor to define you. Mm-hmm. And I think I love it. I love the way that she's presenting all of these ideas about society because we don't often get that. And I love that this is a show that's on something like HBO. mm-hmm. because I feel like it's, I don't know. Like, I think a lot of times you don't see these shows on large premium cable networks. And I really hope that that entices more people to tune in.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, I really think that this has a good shot. Like, looking at the reviews it's gotten, looking at just the feedback from people, like, she's got something really special here. And I'm just really happy to see it kick off the ground and to get to see everything that this show has to offer.
Yeah, totally. It's almost like you've gotten this little slice and you just want more.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Were there any other characters that really stood out to you while you were watching this? Is there like anybody that you hope to see more of as we progress?
I was just going to ask you the same question. Oh my God, that's so funny. There is an actress named Suhata Day that was also in Awkward Black Girl with Issa Rae, and she followed her onto the show. And I think she's great. I think she was hilarious in Awkward Black Girl, and I cannot wait to see more of her. She plays a character named Sarah. She's only in 4 episodes, unfortunately, but I'm very, very much looking forward to seeing her just because I love the actress. Was there anyone for you?
I'm not sure yet. I'm very interested to see kind of how things go, I guess, in the workplace with her.
Yeah.
Because now that she's embarking on this new project and they've put her with her partner and stuff like that, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how much of her own ideas actually get picked up off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see her spread her wings and fly.
I know. And I'm so interested in the workplace too. And not just because that's, again, one of the elements that I enjoyed most in Awkward Black Girl, but also just because I feel like there's so much potential there for really awkward comedy, you know, that I really love, because like, obviously she has a lot going on with Molly and with romance and stuff, but I always sort of find myself drawn to like workplace comedies a lot of the time.
Yeah, because I think it's like the watering hole out in mm-hmm. the jungle, you know, the workplace. It's the place where people from all over come to congregate, and you're kind of stuck with all of these people. And mm-hmm. yeah, but you don't really know them a lot of times outside of what happens in the workplace. So it's just an interesting place for things to happen.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm hoping to hear her rap more. Because that was awesome.
Yeah, I love that that was something that carried over from her web series. Because I do know that in her web series, she talked about how like she copes with like the crazy parts of life by like rap, like writing in her rap journal, and she kind of does the same thing and on Insecure too. That was great.
Super funny.
Her that whole scene in the club where she goes up to the open mic and, you know, she just like wins the crowd over because they're like, yeah. And
then, I know.
And then Molly's so cool. Like, that's me. She's talking about me.
I know. That was less so cool.
Yeah, that was less cool.
But it was
cool.
Good. It was good to see her have this like moment of like winning here, because I don't know, again, going into the whole awkwardness of it, I was like really worried that she was going to go up there and she was just going to fail. You know, because it was going to be really depressing. And then it ended up like she actually killed it. Like she actually did really well in front of the crowd and they loved her. And I was just sort of like cheering for her. And I was so relieved in that moment.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it was great. It was like mm-hmm. very empowering almost to just like the whole situation.
Mm-hmm. So is that it? Is that our breakdown of the first episode?
I think so.
As long as the episode itself.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the good thing about this. Like, if you guys are not sure about whether or not this is going to be for you, it's really only like 27 minutes of your
I thought
life.
You were going to say, it's really for you.
No, well, it is for you, but it's only I feel like you will be won over in the 27 millions, in the 27 minutes that this it takes to watch this pilot. It's really easy to get into, and it's so relatable, even if you, like, yeah, it's just relatable for everybody, I think.
Mm,
you'll find something to relate to.
Absolutely agreed. So we hope that everybody goes and checks out Insecure on HBO and that you stay tuned for our interview with Veronica Mannion. And thank you so much for coming on the show, Veronica. If you're listening, if you're not, I'm just sending this into the ether for you. And Issa Rae is fantastic. And obviously you need to go and watch all of Awkward Black Girl on YouTube, like immediately, because it's fantastic. And we will see you next week for our regular episode of Hype Podcast. Thank you for listening, everyone. Have a fantastic weekend. My name is Selena.
And my name is Pamela.
Bye, guys.
Bye.